Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful, here with a name you know. You're going to see him this Friday at New Japan's Capital Collision in Washington, D.C. We got the man, David Finley. How you doing, man?
I am doing great. Probably not as good as you because you have the global heavyweight champion on your show. So you're welcome.
I do have the global heavyweight champion on the show. It's interesting you mentioned that because that is going to be a topic I refer back to multiple times. First, I definitely want to talk about New Japan in America. Obviously, they have increased their foothold. That's got to make you feel good that you are such a big part of that. And your success, like inside the ring and sort of helping lead the charge as a brand, has made them feel even more comfortable in doing shows like this.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool to see where Strong has gotten to, because I remember the pandemic days where we were filming in front of literally nobody. So it's always good to have any amount of people there as opposed to no people.
You're in a 6-man tag this week. How do you approach that while being a global champion as opposed to maybe how you did before? Or is there any change?
Well, in this particular match, we got myself, Dan Maloney, making his U.S. debut, and Clark Connors. We are three parts of the War Dogs. Going up against Yoshihashi, Kevin Knight, and Rocky Romero. Now, we just had, you know, the G1 come and go, and on the last day of the G1, I had a bad night. I slipped up. Yoshihashi pinned me in the middle of Ryogoku after I just lost the semifinals to make it to the G1 finals. So yeah, now he's challenging for my global heavyweight championship. So I got to give him a little taste of what's to come.
How'd you feel after sort of finishing out that G1 tournament physically? Because I mean, listen, I know it's one of the most exhausting things, not just in wrestling, in all of sports, keeping that type of schedule. And then you're even when you're not doing tournament matches, you're still wrestling other types of matches.
Not to mention the travel on top of it and the tiny Japanese hotel rooms. I think we were in, or at least I was, in 15 different hotels over the course of a month. So, yeah, G1 is the most prestigious, the most difficult, the most taxing, tolling, whatever you want to call it, tournament in the world. Yeah, I like that this year we went back to 20 people and two blocks as opposed to whatever we were doing the past couple of years. It makes it feel more prestigious. But, man, it's so much harder on the body. But I was built for this. I was made for this. So outside of losing the semifinals, I was pretty happy with my performance this year.
And I mean, you kicked off the tournament, I think it was like 3 or 4 days after the match against Sonata that went like 25, 30 minutes as well.
Yeah, well, there was actually like a couple weeks in between that. But
You're right. That was – so, man, my summer ran away from me. So, yeah, you had about a month to recover there.
Yeah, but I was chilling at home, not wrestling. So,
worse for you?
Yeah, I would much rather stay active. Keeps the rust off.
I had a guy I was talking to recently, and he said, man, people always accuse me of being injury prone. He was like, I think it's more because when they do bring me to wrestle, I haven't wrestled in so long than being able to work regularly on TV. So, I mean, like an absence like that, like.
Yeah, you got to get your reps in to stay crisp and, you know, really, I feel, you know, the more active I am, the better I am at wrestling. If I don't like having long breaks. Usually if there's a long break, I got to go take a flight down to Tampa, go see Natty Neidhart and TJ Wilson, get a couple get a couple reps in.
Aren't they gems? Aren't they the best?
They are. I have known them since I was like 13. I remember watching them wrestle at Six Flags Over Georgia for Deep South Wrestling. That's how long I know them. Yeah. So I was one of those Six Flags shows, and it was sweet because I got to go ride the rides for free after, too.
I don't talk to TJ as much. Natty is just one of the most kind, like, generous, like, human beings on the planet. Not shocking to see them, like, have such an influence now. And I always love it because you'll see people from everywhere going and training there. And it's like their Instagram stories are appointment viewing at this point.
Yeah, it is. No, it was because I lived in Tampa for about a year and a half as well. So I was that was kind of during when Japan was still going through the pandemic, but we were over it. It was good for me to get my reps in then. And like I said, they've been family friends for decades at this point.
Just wonderful people. Like if Rocky Romero is the Forbidden Door outside of WWE, those two are within it.
I
always love to just look back at like early matches from people's career. And I find EWP Christmas Wrestling 2012, David Finley.
Okay.
And as it turns out, the current global champion, David Finley, took on a fella by the name of Big Von Walter, who happens to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Like, imagine at that point, imagine being somebody that went to that show in 2012 and you're flipping through the channels today and you just happen to see, oh, well, there's Finley on one. And, oh, well, there's Gunther on another. What was that experience like for you? And did you all both kind of know, yeah, probably going to see this guy down the road?
So that was actually my first match ever. That was me breaking into the business. Yeah. So what happened was my dad was like, he got released from WWE for whatever. So he went on an indie run and he hated the indie so much that he was like, I'm retired. So he was like, do you want to do a tag match with me? It's going to be my last match. And my dad's kind of whimsical sometimes. So he'll be like, you know, not everything comes to fruition. So I was just like, oh yeah, sure. That sounds great. Thinking it was never going to happen. About 2 weeks later, he was like, all right, we're going to Germany. You got a singles match. And then we're going to do a tag match in the main. Street fight tag match. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I don't have any gear. So I used like one of my high school wrestling singlets. Got kick pads from High Spots. And I used my little shooter boots. And yeah, Big Van Walter just beat the shit out of me. And I still remember like just not being able to chew for like 3 days after.
Oh, man.
But yeah, and then later that night did a tag match against
Robbie Brookside
Danny Collins with my dad. And that was my entry into the business, was getting flown out to Germany to work twice and do a main event with my dad for his retirement match. So yeah, it was a very memorable night for me.
That is quite the introduction, which I mean, obviously not your introduction to wrestling, but a first night, like to look back on that, like, my God, like that is quite notable.
Yeah. But, you know, if someone's going to get flown out to a different continent for their first match, it's going to be fourth generation wrestler like myself.
And then I see like some of the, now this was quite a bit removed from that, but like I'm seeing some of your other early matches, like you're teaming with Johnny Swinger, who is still somehow still at it. That guy, like you're doing a tour in 2014 that has people like Sam Adonis and Andre Chase now, and Oliver Gray, who was really good. Like John Skyler was on some of those. Who else? Zach Gibson, like
when James Drake. Yeah.
When you were when you were on like these early tours and you guys are locking it up, obviously you're very young in the business for a lot of you, but is it a situation where you're like, yeah, we can kind of tell who's got it here and who we're going to see down the road?
Maybe they could, but I was like so early in my career that it was just like, just go out there and wrestle. So I was just like, oh, maybe we'll like Jay White was in England with me. So we actually met in England before we both started the dojo together. And I remember like, this is back when we were still friends. I remember like I was like, oh yeah, I might go to not understanding how difficult of a task that is to just be like, yeah, I'm going to casually go to New Japan. He was like, oh, yeah, me too. So then like, I was like, oh, well, this guy's going too. So like, it must be like easy to get in. And then it was literally just the two of us and another dude.
That is, it is just wild to see who ends up locking up that early in your career, because it can be a crapshoot sometimes, obviously. But I mean, man,
it makes sense, because it's the guys that, you know, they put the work in, they put the miles in, and, you know, they went and wrestled for no money and way too many miles. And, you know, like, it was all the guys that wanted it from the get-go that, you know, continue to rise.
Man, you've had quite the year. I mean, kicked it off at Wrestle Kingdom, working with Jon Moxley, Will Ospreay, and beating both of them, by the way.
Yes.
To be in a spot like that, it's clear that New Japan has had confidence in you in a long time, and you have earned that confidence. How was it for you working on that stage with that level of talent and New Japan knowing that you're the guy that should be carrying that torch?
It was a lot of years of hard work that finally paid off for me. You know, I came into New Japan April of 2015, did a best of the Super Juniors tournament. It wasn't really quite good enough to not be a young boy, so I kind of got like backtracked to, you know, young lion status. And then like I went through the whole system, and you know, a lot of years were hard. There was a lot of, you know, spinning my wheels and treading water. So to like be on a stage that big in a match with Jon Moxley, who, you know, is great, and Will Ospreay, who is also great, and to come out on top, you know, just confirmed everything that I believed in myself for years. And I like that it kind of pissed people off that I beat them both after they tried to gang up on me. So that always makes me happy.
People who watch AEW obviously got a look at you briefly as well. And I had been told around that time, they're like, yeah, we want Finley against Hangman. Like, it's something that they wanted. They wanted you on their programming. How does that feel when it's like this American company who you had not worked with before is like, yeah, we want you facing our top guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool opportunity. I've known Hangman since he came to New Japan. So it was kind of just like, oh, well, I guess we're doing it here now. You know, which when you've been around long enough, it's just kind of the letters change, but the people kind of stay the same. But yeah, I mean, AEW, the connection or the relationship that New Japan and AEW have is really, really good for wrestling as a whole, I would say. You know, having other people show up in different places is always cool to me. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a prize fighter. So if you're going to pay me to come wrestle, I'm going to come do it.
Speaking of, you've been teaming with Gato an awful lot lately. And this is, gosh, like 9 years ago, you were facing him. Mm-hmm. And back when I was a kid, I was watching him compete in WCW around the same time your father was. So obviously an awful lot of knowledge, awful lot of lot to learn there. But how has it been teaming with him after really some of the first matches in New Japan you were having were across the ring from him?
Yeah, Gato is a master.
I believe that we briefly lost David Finley. We got him back.
Oh, cool. What
look, we got dip back. Out? All right, I don't know.
All right. When did I cut out?
So the Gato is a mastermind, which
Gato is a mastermind when it comes to wrestling, and a lot of my success is because he's been in my corner. One was an attitude change of just like, you know, the imaginary carrot that's been dangled in front of me is imaginary, and two has been Gato in my ear, and you know, really helping me accomplish my goals, whether they be by nefarious ways or not.
Another insane moment this year. New Japan does not, like, you're not going to see a lot of stipulation matches or anything of that sort. So when, first off, we hear that this cage match is going to happen and unfold. How is it like sort of thrown to you all? Yeah, this is something that we're going to do. And the story surrounding War Dogs, which has been an integral part of New Japan, is sort of going to be like the integral factor of this, the thing that we never do.
Well, when
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I took over Bullet Club. I understood that was going to be an uphill battle, and I knew I was basically drinking from a poison chalice. But who better to take on that task than me? But part of it was, like, I'd also seen, you know, Gabe Kidd, Alex Coughlin, Clark Connors just spinning the wheels like I had for years. So it was kind of my idea. We came together, and it was like, all right, how do we set ourselves apart from the star power that Bullet Club used to have? And I was like, well, we're all ass kickers. Let's just be really violent. And so the culmination of that violence was the cage match. And I think that's when we really started turning heads and people really understanding our vision of what we feel our Bullet Club should be.
I would love to know your general reaction whenever you see or hear a Gabe Kidd interview or headline, because I can tell you, as a guy who writes headlines for a living, when they offer me Gabe Kidd, I go, okay, this will be fun.
I believe I was the first one to see the potential in Gabe Kidd. He was my first pick for being a War Dog, and that has been a great pick. A great
yeah.
pick.
That's hell of a first rounder.
When it comes to recruiting people and seeing untapped potential, I am the greatest at it.
Like if ESPN did like the fantasy draft grade, that's an A+ right there.
Yeah, I mean, what a star player we have in Gabe. plus, he does literally anything I tell him. If I'm like, yo, go whoop that dude's ass. Like, done. No questions asked. Like, he loves it. But yeah, Gabe Kidd has been – what a pick by me. What a pick by me.
Dude, like, he sells a fight like no other. Like there are times I get sincerely concerned for the person that he's facing. One, that their feelings are going to get hurt before the match even happens. But two, like, what is this guy going to do? He's wonderful. And I mean, the War Dogs are, I mean, anytime there is Bullet Club and then anything else attached to it, you're going to have people that side eye it. And then what you guys have done is really deliver on that and sort of throw it in the face of naysayers. Is that satisfying for you to see that through and realize it?
Of course. Anytime you can give a big middle finger to people who, you know, gave it to you first is a very satisfying feeling. And this year has been just that moment again and again and again and again. And but going back to Gabe Kidd real quick, he's New Japan Strong open weight champion. He is the champion of strong for a reason. Like, he's a crazy person. Like, in like real life crazy person. I am concerned for him 5-6 days out of the week. He usually has like one recovery day, but he is a madman for real. So of course he's going to be strong open weight champion, you know? Like, again, I am so good at recruiting people.
I mean, Driller Maloney, just
yes,
incredible. Like,
stole him from Ospreay.
Stolen from Ospreay. Like you mentioned, this weekend, Capital Collision, his first U.S. appearance, he will hit with a U.S. crowd for sure.
Yes.
This guy, like, he's got it. He's just, when you talk to him, even off camera, he's got this like natural charisma. Somebody once told me, they said, "I just want Driller Maloney to think I'm cool." And I was like, you know what? That's what he exudes.
Yeah, that's a tough ask. He doesn't think too many people are cool. That's why he left Empire. He thought they're all nerds.
Fair. Fair. So there's the natural Bullet Club Civil War that everybody talks about. Now, I once asked Adam Cole about his thoughts on a Bullet Club Civil War, and he goes, "How about a Bullet Club group hug?" He's like, "What if all of us just got together and hugged?" Which is, if you've ever talked to Adam Cole off camera, is the most Adam Cole thing humanly possible. But, you know, Gabe said some stuff that maybe isn't so nice about other Bullet Club versions. Switchblade, back when he was leading the charge, he said, "You know what? The OC, they're us as well." He said that Mi Shin was in it. I want to know your thoughts, David Finley's thoughts. What does he think of Bullet Club Gold? What does he think of the OC these days, being Bullet Club but not really being named Bullet Club, all that stuff? I want your feelings, thoughts, and emotions.
All right. Well, when I took over, I pretty much excommunicated all other groups. So in New Japan, we've also got House of Torture. None of us get along. None of us like each other. They don't represent anything that we represent, besides maybe bending the rules here and there. So, you know, you got, was it Bang Bang Gang? Are they even still Bullet Club? I don't really care what goes on then.
On their video, it still says Bullet Club Gold.
All right, well, cool. I'm the leader, so all those royalties come to me anyways. So, like, if you want to fly my flag, go for it. But in my eyes, War Dogs is the only group that matters. If you're not my dog for real, you're not my dog at all.
You know what? I appreciate that and admire it. It's just like I've seen at this, like, it used to be, like, if you weren't in Bullet Club anymore, you became acutely aware by the form of an ass whipping. But there have been some people that have sort of snuck off and snuck away without catching that ass whipping. I don't think Scott D'Amore ever got jumped out of the group.
I don't think – was Scott D'Amore in the group?
Not for like a day. For a day.
Not when I was there.
Not when you were there.
Here's the thing. They didn't even whip Jay's ass on the way out. I had to do that myself before I even joined the group. You know, I felt – Bullet Club went soft, and I fixed that.
Damn, man. It hurts my heart to see, but you know what? You guys have done very well for yourselves. One of those things that you did very well for yourself, you mentioned having that absence coming back to the G1. You had that match with Tsuji, who is very clearly also a guy that, much like you, people looked at and said, probably next up for that guy. When you have a match like that right out of the gate, even if it doesn't go your way, are you like, well, yep, that builds up my confidence pretty well after having a month off?
yeah, a little bit. Obviously, if I would have won, I would have been a little more confident.
Sure.
You know, but I do well being back into a corner as well. But yeah, Tsuji is, I hate to admit it, but he's very good. He's got a bright future. He's someone that came into the dojo after me, and I remember during the pandemic, we actually had to go back and stay in the dojo. So I was like, I'm just back at square one. But he was a young boy there at the time. I think it was then. So, you know, seeing him progress to what he's progressed to now is a testament to the system that New Japan has. And I'll
they're
leave it
very
at
good
that.
At reloading, like incredible at reloading.
Yeah.
I would say especially, like, they've got this unique knack for if they happen to lose an English-speaking star, my God, they've got somebody's ready. And now, in this sense, they, you know, they lost a couple, but they had, like, you were ready. Gabe Kidd was ready. Drill Maloney was ready. Like, basically, your group was ready.
Yeah, Clark Connors, ready. You know,
Clark Connors, ready.
Like, we are carrying this company on our backs.
And is that something that you take pride in? Is that something that you're like, hell yeah, I'll do that. I want that.
Yeah, of course. Of course I do. I mean, at Wrestle Kingdom, on my, what is it, Titantron, big bold letters, savior of the company. That is what I am. Whether people want to admit it or not, I am the one that's going to drag New Japan up and make us the number one company again.
How do you feel when you see people like Mustafa Ali pop up in on these U.S. shows? Is that something like sort of like my territory? If I wanted that title, I'd take that too. But you're welcome to be here thing? Or is it a we'll wait and sort of see how he lands after this Hiromu Takahashi match? Because he's a guy that when he popped up, I saw a lot of people say, love to see him involved with War Dogs or opposite War Dogs.
I think Mustafa Ali is very talented. He beat Hiromu Takahashi in his first match in New Japan, which is no small task. Possibly the greatest junior heavyweight of you know, the last decade. Him or Despy, you know. 1 and 2 respectively. So yeah, that's pretty good. Although I don't think Mustafa Ali is War Dog material. You know, he's a good Muslim boy. You know, he sticks to his morals.
He does.
War Dogs go out, we drink, we smoke, we party. We fight people. We say bad words. I don't think he would be a good mix. We'll just pick on him for being, you know, a good
the headline. That's going to be the headline.
We'll pick on him for being a good person, and that is as political as I will get with that. But here's the thing. He's talented, but I don't really rate anybody that comes through, you know, the doors of New Japan until they actually go to mainland Japan and do a tournament of some sort.
Fair.
You know, whether he does – it's a best of the Super Juniors – or a G1, like, that's where you really cut your teeth. That's where, like, you know, you separate the boys from the men.
Is there anybody that you see in the wrestling world, whether it be New Japan or outside of it, even on the independents, that you look at and you're like, even if they're not War Dog material, there's potential, there's hope, and maybe a sliver of possibility that one day they can be War Dog material?
Nobody really comes to mind, to be completely honest with you. There was a little bit there where I wondered if Shota Umino would benefit from being a War Dog, but his heart is still too pure. you know, he still believes the lie. Bolton Oleg, ranked 5th in the world for freestyle wrestling, a actual killer from Kazakhstan. I kind of unofficially extended an offer to him when he was ready for it during the G1, but again, his heart is too pure. I don't think he's going to take me up on it. But outside of that, I mean, War Dogs is pretty stacked. New Japan is pretty stacked. You know, like, we have all the talent we need in-house. So I don't think we need to look to outside for that.
You mentioned, like, hearts not being pure. Funny enough, on this show, Fred Rosser's teaming with Tom Lawler. Fred Rosser cut a pretty heart is not pure promo on Tom Lawler once upon a time. Said he was going to break into his house and do some pretty crazy things.
Yep.
Like, honestly, if you were to have put, like, pasted Gabe Kidd's face over Fred Rosser's, I would have been like, yeah, it's a Gabe Kidd promo right there.
Yes, 100%. I know exactly which one you're referencing. And I was around the corner and heard it. I was just like, oh my, can we say that? I mean, he can, I guess. I can't.
So when I asked Rocky about it, I was like, did you think that would make air? And he goes, no. He's like, that was surprise number two. Surprise number one was that it even got said.
Yeah, it's airing is the crazy part. Because he's also like, Fred is a very nice person. I didn't know he had
sweet guy.
I didn't know he had that fire in him. Like, I want to see more of that. That's cool.
I just love that Tom Lawler heard that. He's like, maybe I should just team with this guy instead. Like, maybe that's the best course of action.
Safer.
Oh my God, guys, August 30th, New Japan Strong Capital Collision, Washington, D.C. David Finley, you've been doing some kick-ass stuff. War Dog's killing it. Again, as said, nailed all your draft picks. You've been leading by example here. And you're going to compete in a six-man tag team match against Yoshihashi, Rocky Romero, Kevin Knight. And we look forward to it. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Everybody tune into the show at Washington, D.C. And if you're in town, buy tickets. I will have my beautiful white and gold belt with me. The War Dogs will have their beautiful white and silver tag team championships. You're going to see Gabe Kidd defend his championship successfully. It's going to be a great night. Come to see the War Dogs, and you know, the rest is just a bonus.
Until next time, my friends, we are out. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.